Minute speaker is Bobby J. from Santee.
Bobby, alcoholic.
Bobby.
I'm a little bit weird. I feel high. Not in that way. Wow. I feel privileged to be here. Really privileged, and a little bit like throwing up. Randy cornered me on this on Wednesday, and I haven't spoken in front of a large group in a long time. I've been around for a while, but it's been a while since I've spoken, and it was time for me, and I'm thankful to him for doing that. Congratulations, Tony, Brian, and Michelle. That's awesome. Wow, this is really awesome. I love AA. My sobriety date is August 21st, 1987. I got sober when I was 26 years old, 48 now. And I'm looking around the room and I'm seeing quite a few young people, and I think it's really bitching. I'm so grateful that I didn't have to spend, you know, another 20 years of my life trying to kill myself. Briefly what it was like, I found... marijuana at probably 15, 16, loved it. Found alcohol at 18, loved it. First party I ever went to, I was a senior in high school, and I had two beers, and I was, you know, I had that buzz going. And man, I found it. That was it for me. And when I was about 19 or 20, I found Coke. And I spent the next 6-7 years combining those three as much as I could. And I'm convinced that if it were not for the pharmaceuticals, I would have been out there drinking longer. So it helped me find my bottom sooner. But what happened to me is, when it finally came time that I could no longer stand the emotional pain, I was dying inside. You know, everything was still kind of okay on the outside. Thankful to, you know, I had some parents that I was, you know, sponging very efficiently off of. 26 years old, you know, still living at home. And I wasn't anywhere near getting on my own 2 feet. I was, you know, I was regressing each year. And I had resorted to lying to my mother to, you know, get money out of her. And, you know, back in 1987, I was making 30 grand a year, and I couldn't afford to pay my car insurance. Pretty obvious what's going on. But, you know, when I first started coming around looking for help, when I hit my bottom, my first bottom, I was convinced that I needed to give up the drugs, but I wasn't about to give up alcohol. No way. I couldn't live that way. And so I'd show up at CA meetings and share, yeah, I haven't used in a week. Go to happy hour, but I haven't used. And they were very loving and kind, and they would just say, keep coming back. And my friends, you know, I worked graveyard in a grocery store, and my friends, many of them had gone into rehab already. And they would tell me, you know, Bobby, it's all the same. You're going to have to give up the booze, too. And they were right, because every time I drank, it took me back to the other things, and it was just a vicious cycle. Usually once a week, I'd have a binge, and I'd, where's the clock? I want to make sure I don't spend too much time on this. Yeah. We're probably, what, 2-3 minutes into this? I better hurry it along. Anyway, I don't want to get stuck on the drunk log. I showed up. I finally was 12-stepped by my mother's work associate a few days before my first meeting in August 1987. I remember my last drunk. I couldn't get drunk. That's what it felt like. I went out drinking. I went to the Bacchanal. Do y'all remember the Bacchanal?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, yeah. And I was drinking and drinking and drinking, and I felt stone cold sober when I got home. And I knew it was over. I knew that it had finally, completely, utterly stopped working for me. And I was just left with my feelings and my thoughts and my utter demoralization. And I was 12-stepped on the front door, on the front porch a few days later, and I went to my first meeting on that Monday night, and I haven't drank since. Haven't picked up since. Haven't used. Haven't smoked. haven't smoked marijuana, excuse me. And I was a guy who smoked and drank every day. I had a short career, 12 years, 10 years, but it was enough to get me here. And when I got here, that guy sponsored me, and he told me, you go to meetings, you reach out to people, you talk to people, you share at meetings, you get commitments, and you read the big book every single day. And he said, I don't care if it's a page, I don't care if it's a paragraph. He said, you pick up that big book every day. And I did that. I have to admit, I stopped at 10 years. I stopped picking up the big book every day at 10 years. But for 10 years, I would read that book, and I would go to meetings. And man, I cried a lot in meetings when I first got here because I was so raw. I did not know how to live. I did not know how to feel. I did not know how to be. I couldn't look people in the eye. And I was really just a child. I mean, I was just so immature when I got here and so full of fear. I went to meetings and I shared, and I was surrounded by people who loved me. And every now and then you'd run into some, crusty old timer that, would like to call you out in front of the meeting or belittle you or something. But I was surrounded by people who cared about me. I was really some wonderful people, some people that are no longer here in San Diego that I miss dearly. But I always had wonderful sponsors, and I've worked the steps with four different sponsors, each time going through the steps, and it's been an absolute gift. And one thing I feel most strongly about now is that, with nearly 22 years of sobriety, number one, I need to be on guard against complacency. 22 years is, life gets pretty damn good after 22 years of sobriety. The outside stuff, wonderful marriage, wonderful wife, wonderful life, ridiculously wonderful. I mean, even if I try hard, I really can't. You know what? My biggest problem this week was, what am I going to say Saturday night? That was my biggest problem. I mean, my life is just blessed. And so complacency is my greatest enemy, I feel, today. So I'm reminded constantly that, the part in the 12th step where it says we carry the message to the next suffering alcoholic. And that's why I still go to meetings. That's why I still show up. I mean, yeah, I don't want to drink and I don't want to die, but, man, I feel a moral obligation to come here and share it with whoever wants it and to be there for someone who wants to go through the steps. And I got to tell you, the guys that I've sponsored, they don't have a good track record. But I do. I have a good track record, and that's unfortunate. But every now and then you see someone come along that you get to work with, and you see him make it, and you see him get sober, and you see and I talk about it all the time. You see the lights come on. I love watching the lights come on in an alcoholic. It is so awesome. And I go to a morning meeting, and we have some people that recently have come in, and the lights have come on. And it's beautiful. It really is. And it's not something I want to miss, I still get to enjoy that today. And someone was sharing earlier that, pain isn't always removed. I think it was Tony. No, it was Brian. Excuse me.
Brian.
Yep. And he's absolutely right. And one thing's for sure is everything gets real, real in sobriety. Real raw. Real emotional, real up and down, but I've learned that my emotions won't kill me. They say feelings aren't facts, but they are real. They are there, and we get to experience them. And I've learned that I don't have to drink over them, that I can come to a meeting, and I share it, and the power comes out of it, and someone else says, yeah, I feel the same way. And you know what? We're back in that lifeboat again, and that camaraderie. And it's just... Man, I could not find this anywhere. I didn't find it in bars. I didn't find it in, churches before I got here. I never thought I would have found it in a room full of drunks. Absolutely. I mean, who would have guessed? Who would have guessed you guys would have delivered me? I feel at home here. And I don't know if it's been 10 minutes, but it feels like 2 hours. So I'm cutting out. God bless.